Well, tomorrow, a group of Republican lawmakers will try to prop up President Trump's baseless claims of election fraud by challenging Joe Biden's victory when Congress meets to formally certify the Electoral College vote. Vice President Mike Pence is expected to preside over the joint session. And last night at that rally in Georgia, Trump put pressure on Pence to go beyond his ceremonial role and do something to overturn the election.
I hope that our great Vice President... our great Vice President comes through for us. He's a great guy. Of course, if he doesn't come through, I won't like him quite as much.
Julian Zelizer, Professor of History and Public Affairs at Princeton University, joins us now. And Julian, let's just start with the historical precedent here. What's supposed to happen tomorrow?
Well, it's always a historic event, but it's pretty pro forma normally. Lawmakers from the House and Senate, they meet in the House chamber. The vice president presides over this process, and the votes from the states are brought in these special boxes. And the vice president opens the sealed certificates submitted by each state, and they are read out loud by bipartisan tellers who are appointed by the House and Senate. And usually it goes pretty quickly, and we have the results of the election.
Well, and this is why Mike Pence is in a tough spot. This morning, President Trump tweeted a false statement. I'm going to say it again, a false statement that the vice president has the power to reject fraudulently chosen electors tomorrow. So keep that in mind. Here's Pence campaigning in Georgia yesterday.
You know, I know we all got our doubts about the last election. And I want to assure you, I share the concerns of millions of Americans about voting irregularities. And I promise you, come this Wednesday, we'll have our day in Congress.
All right. So what's the likelihood that Mike Pence does anything other than what you just described, announce the election results tomorrow as he is required to do?
Well, we know there's going to be objections, which sets up a process where the members go to a private meeting and review the objections and vote about whether they are legitimate or not. But we're still expecting Vice President Pence to finish the process and confirm that there are no challenges from the states. The states are sending agreed upon electors. The courts have rejected all challenges. So the assumption should be, and he's not in a tough spot to make this decision, that he will move forward with the process of voting in favor of this.
But he may be running for president in 4 years, and he may have to anger the president here himself by making this announcement publicly. What does it mean for him, at least politically, in terms of his future?
Well, it will put him at odds with a lot of members of the party who have either passively or actively supported this effort to overturn the election. But just because you face political pressure like that is not a reason to go through with something that's fundamentally anti-democratic. You're right in that if he's thinking of 2024, he's about to anger a lot of Republicans whose support he'll need.
Well, throughout U.S. history, as you've explained, the act of certifying this vote is pretty much been a formality, and there is no real likelihood that anywhere near enough votes are there to change the outcome of this vote. But can we just play devil's advocate for a moment here, Julian? What if Republicans controlled both chambers of Congress? How close would President Trump be to overturning this election through Congress, getting what he's been asking for?
Well, I can't predict the future or a different scenario than occurred, but based on the way that many leading Republicans, including party leaders, have supported this challenge, under unified government, you could imagine this being a much more serious threat. And that when the legislators went back into those private discussions, that they might support a challenge like this. And I think that's the state of the Republican Party in 2020, and the post-election period has revealed this quite clearly. So I don't think that could be discounted.
Yeah. Well, here's how Vice President Al Gore handled the certification 20 years ago when he lost the race to George W. Bush after the Supreme Court stopped a recount in Florida. Let's listen.
May God bless our new president and our new vice president, and may God bless the United States of America.
So that was not an easy moment for him. He had to gavel down members of his own party who tried to object and who ultimately walked out of the chamber in protest. How do you think history will look back on what happens tomorrow and really what's happened since this year's election.
Yeah, I don't think it will look back favorably at where the Republican Party has moved. As I said, this is an anti-democratic agenda right now. And I don't think the way that the Republican Party, not just President Trump, has acted in the last few weeks will be looked upon well. The question will be, does the party change? Does it move beyond where it is today? Or is it so rooted in these kinds of tactics that it's just not going to enter a new era anytime soon?
Julian Zelizer, historian of Princeton University, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.